It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Wisconsin voters turned out in a big way on Tuesday as voter participation reached its highest level in a midterm ever, according to unofficial returns from the Associated Press. We talk with a political science professor about the issues and candidates that drove people to the polls on Tuesday, how that differed by age, race, religion, region, what all it means in the great scheme of things. What drove you to the polls on Tuesday? Was there a key issue or candidate that you were most keen on weighing in on at the ballot box? Don't be shy. Tell us, was maybe this the first time you ever voted? What was the thing that pushed you over the edge and got you to the polls this time? Share your stories about voting at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can email them to us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Paru Shah is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Paru, welcome to the morning show.
Thanks for having me.
The New York Times said that the number of votes cast for the U.S. House was 114 million, surpassing even its high expectations. Turnout in 2014, by comparison, only 83 million. How did the turnout in these elections strike you?
It was remarkable. I think the 30 million increase across the table is something to take in and be a little bit in awe of. And I do think, I just heard you asked the question, like, why did people vote? And I think the issues and the candidates were really driving people this election year to the polls. And there was a lot of mobilization efforts by community organizations that seemed to have worked.
Were there any issues in particular you think that made people say, you know what, I'm going to the polls and vote this time?
Well, I think it's two things. One, midterm elections are always a check on the president and the last 2 years of office. And so I think Donald Trump, definitely his politics and policies over the last 2 years, brought both Republican and Democrats out. And in terms of issues, I think the number one issue that we heard quite clearly was health care and concerns from Americans across the partisan spectrum about health care issues.
800-642-1234, the number to call. What drove you to the polls? Share your story with us. Why did you vote this year? Maybe you didn't vote in the last midterm. Why did you vote this time? What was it that made you decide to cast your ballot, regardless of who you cast it for? 800-642-1234. In some states, like Wisconsin, we saw record-breaking voter turnout. In Wisconsin, 2.7 million people voted on Tuesday. That's the most ever for a midterm election here. I'm wondering what regions of the state we saw the most significant gains in turnout.
Well, we definitely saw Milwaukee and Madison and the big cities come out in larger numbers than they had in previous times. And again, I think this is a testament to, one, mobilization efforts, and two, the expansion of registration opportunities for individuals, so the online registration that people had, and the early voting. I really think that we saw record numbers of early voters here in Wisconsin, and I think what I heard was three times as much as 2016, and so I think that's another thing that structural change has really been good for bringing out voters.
The numbers that I looked at, Dane County was up 17%, 14% in Milwaukee County, Waukesha an increase of 9%. Those numbers reflecting what went on in the rest of the state as well, do you think?
Yeah, definitely, and I think, again, this was an election with the governor's race and some really tight Senate races where people were, again, the issues and the candidates were bringing people out in record numbers.
And how did the, let's talk about the urban parts of the state in terms of how those votes came down. What percentage of people in, say, Dane County voted for Republicans versus Democrats?
I think we saw similar margins that we saw in 2016 in terms of those breakdowns. And so if for the counties that went traditionally for Trump, we saw those counties continue to go Republican. And then places like Milwaukee and Madison have really strong margins for the Democrats. I think the thing that we noticed across the state was that some of those margins diminished a little bit. And so that's, I think, again, another important thing to think about in terms of Wisconsin, given 2016 being in some ways an anomaly in terms of a presidential election, and whether or not we're going to see kind of trends towards Wisconsin going Republican for president in the future.
Well, certainly, if you look at the map and the way the votes came down, you had this giant amount of red, and then these little islands of blue in the more urban areas, that's a trend that we expect to continue. Then,
yeah, and I think it's not just Wisconsin. I mean, when you look at the map of the whole country, it's very, very similar. Very urban places with more population, higher density populations going Democratic and pulling the votes from those very dense places in than a sea of red where we have much more rural areas going for Republicans. And, you know, again, this, I think, also speaks to then what we found in terms of the House versus Senate seats that were picked up by Democrats. It wasn't surprising, I think, to most political scientists that House seats that are much more driven by population size went for the Democrats, and the Senate was able to retain their stronghold.
Well, and particularly since the Democrats had to defend Senate seats in states that went pretty heavily for Donald Trump in the last presidential election. Let's take a phone call here. Dawn is with us in West Bend. Dawn, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I was so excited at our polling place in West Bend. The line for new voters was longer than the line for people actually voting that had voted before.
And Dawn, thanks for sharing that. So, Parusha, that was typical across the state then? A lot of first time, a lot of new voters?
Yeah, and again, I think this is a testament to the ways in which same-day registration can really affect an election because we have the ability to do that, because we know people know that if they hadn't already registered to vote, that they would have the opportunity to do so that same day. I think really expands the electorate and brings up voters who might not have otherwise shown up.
We're talking about voter turnout in this week's midterm election in Wisconsin. Paru Shah is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Wondering what drove you to the polls. Was it an issue? Was it a candidate? Maybe you were a first-time voter. Maybe you sat the last election out. What was it that caused you to get off the sidelines and into the game this time? Share your story with us, as Dawn just did, at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. 642-1234. You can also use email. The address is ideas@wpr.org, or just tweet us at WPR Mornings. Paru, what do we know about the demographic breakdown of voters who came out for the midterms in Wisconsin?
Well, I think nationally, and I think that Wisconsin had some similar influence, there was a lot of movement, particularly around from women and people of color, to be more Democratic and vote more likely for the Democratic candidate. Whereas one of the things that people had been wondering is, what are white college-educated women going to do in the suburbs? Again, based on what happened in 2016, this was a group that people were really interested in knowing what their where their votes were going to be cast. And I think we saw them again move towards the Democratic side, but still stay pretty solidly even, I would say, between Republican and Democrats. And so I think a little bit of movement, and I would argue that this is not necessarily unusual for a midterm election where the party in control loses some seats and people move a little bit back towards what ends up being a more centrist position. So I think we saw that here in Wisconsin as well.
Let's take another call. This time it'll be Jamie in Green Bay. Jamie, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I think people came out in big numbers because of their passion and because they were so passionate about their cause and their candidate. So you look at O'Rourke, who filled stadiums full of people, you know, down in Texas. And then on election night, I heard Andrea Mitchell from NBC say something to the effect of how Trump supporters would follow him over a cliff. So it goes on both sides. So I think it's that there is just so much passion on for our candidates, which is great for voter turnout. Which what concerns me about that is that I think we're going to see a harder time for people to come together and find a middle ground on issues, and it could make it more challenging to actually get things done.
All right. Thanks, Jamie, for sharing that with us. Paru, people passionate about their candidates, and that's what drove them to the polls. Would you agree with that?
I definitely think the candidates and the issues are always significant drivers for people to show up at the polls. And I think that caller's comment about the increased polarization is spot on. I think we see more and more of very ideologically conservative and ideologically progressive candidates not speaking to common ground, but really speaking to these very specific agenda items. And people get very excited about that. But I think she brings up the good point of, so now they're elected to office, and we know that they're going to have to work together on some of these issues. Are they going to be able to find that common ground? And I think that is a concern, particularly since we haven't seen that happen in the last few years.
Paru Shah stays with us as our conversation continues about turnout. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what we learned from exit polling about who voted for Governor Walker and who didn't vote for Governor Walker this time around, who supported him before. That's just one of the things we'll talk about. We'll also take some more calls from people who want to tell us why they went to the polls this time. Maybe you voted for the first time in your life. What was that experience like? How did you feel afterwards? Maybe you didn't vote in the last midterms and you voted this time. What was it that got you off the sidelines? Give us a call and let us know. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Wisconsin voters turned out in record midterm numbers this week, and we're talking about why. What drove you to the polls on Tuesday? Did you have friends and family members who were suddenly very mobilized by this election in a way you hadn't seen them before? What do you think got them involved this time around? Did you decide to maybe sit out this midterm? Why was that? Was it a barrier to voting, indecision, inconvenience? Tell us. We want to hear from you. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Paru Shah is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and she's with us as we kind of parse these numbers a little bit. Paru, exit polls show that Governor Walker lost votes from independents and college graduates this time around compared to 2014 when he was reelected. What's your reaction here?
I think this is part of a larger trend of, again, the polarization that's happening. So I would say that independents, right, are people who we see as either leaning left or right, depending on the issue. And here we found that in this climate, in this political climate, they were not less willing to stick with the governor and moved farther away from, again, I think with the larger trend of people kind of across the board moving more towards the Democratic Party. I think the education gap is really interesting, and again, something that people have been talking about, in particular, something that's been growing in the last couple of years consistently across the country, this idea that college-educated individuals are moving again towards the Democrats, and less than college-educated individuals are staying with the Republicans. And I think this education gap, kind of similar to the urban-rural gap and all the other things that people are talking about that became pretty clear in this last election again, are things that people are going to get concerned about, given what I had said earlier about this idea of how do we then come together when we know we need to act, when we need to make policy. So getting elected is just part of the battle. Once we are in office, how are we going to actually make things happen?
Let's hear from Sarah in Madison. Sarah, yes, there we go. Now we got it. Got the right button pushed. Sarah, welcome to the morning show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. So I was just thinking, I am a student at UW-Madison, and
I think this year more than ever, I saw a lot of political activism, especially on campus. I've been a part of a few elections on campus, but I think the drive this election was mostly based off of the attitudes that are in the community, and particularly Donald Trump's rhetoric and how these issues are stated more bluntly than ever. I think this also transfers over to state lines, where you really figure out the issues that are at hand, especially with young voters.
All right, Sarah, thanks for sharing that with us. Parusha, the students, voters looking at a lot of issues, do you think Sarah's pretty typical?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, you know, the 18 to 24-year-olds have historically had low voter turnout, and this is a group that both sides, all parties, are trying to mobilize because they constitute a significant portion of the electorate, particularly in places like Madison. And I do think that the issues are really driving them this year to the polls. Things that I heard on campus in particular at UWM was around education. And this goes to the governor's race. Both gubernatorial candidates talked about being the education governor. And I think students, particularly college-age students, have been feeling the effects of different policies on their actual experience. And so that's another way to really get them motivated to show up to the polls.
Did we see a divide between the way men and women voted in the gubernatorial race?
Yeah, I mean, women, again, went more for Tony Evers than men did. And I think this is part of a national trend that we've been seeing of women moving towards the Democratic Party.
Let's bring Dale in Eau Claire into our conversation. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning. I just wanted to call, make the comment where I'm from Eau Claire, and I went to my polling place and I voted. And like the previous caller said, the registration line was pretty long. I heard a lot of people talking, younger people that were talking that they're there because of the marijuana referendum that was on the ballot. And I just kind of smiled and thought, well, okay, I guess that's a good reason to vote. But for me, I voted Tony Evers this time around. I could get behind him. I support him and what his ideas are in education and such. He is an educator. I did support Scott Walker last three elections. And I couldn't find myself going into a ballot and casting my vote to vote for somebody just because it wasn't Scott Walker. I could not get behind Tom Barrett or Mary Burke. But this time around, I got behind Evers. And basically, I was a registered Republican, but I'm never going to vote Republican again. That's all I have to say. I'll listen off the air.
All right. Thank you. Dale, thanks so much. Paru, Dale saying, hey, he supported Scott Walker before. He couldn't get behind the candidates who ran against him, but this time he went for Tony Evers. How often did we see that kind of thing happen in Wisconsin this week?
Well, I think that's one of the interesting things that people were looking at, particularly with the difference in vote margins, for example, with Tammy Baldwin versus Tony Evers. And this idea that there would be people who would vote for Scott Walker and Tammy Baldwin. And I would say that, and maybe, or like switch parties, as that caller just said. I do think that the longer you're in office, the more people are going to be looking to see it, look to your record and say, all right, so have you done what you said you're going to do? I think that caller actually made a really great point about one of the concerns that any party has to have is people aren't going to just vote against a candidate. You really need to put up a candidate that people can feel confident about, excited about voting for. And so I think what ended up happening was that maybe people have been unhappy with some of the policies that Scott Walker has put out there or the way the state is going, but never felt like we had a good candidate who would be the better choice. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the things that we saw here as well. He definitely lost some of his voters, given the tallies, but it wasn't in the margins that you would, in significant margins. I mean, I would say that there's still a significant divide in our state. I mean, a very close divide, obviously, based
right.
on the turnout about how people feel about both of those candidates.
1.2% margin, that's not a whole
yeah.
lot of votes.
Right.
Let's take a call next from Casey in Juneau. Casey, welcome to the morning show.
Hey, thanks. I'm 38 years old and a first-time voter. and I was concerned about the property taxes being unfrozen, just property taxes and any taxes going up in general. So that got me out to vote because, as a homeowner, I don't want to fund somebody else's dreams. You know, I got my own to pursue. That's why I voted this year and first time.
Okay. 38 years old, first time voting. A lot of first time voters this time, Parusha.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, he's talking about, I think, what really gets people motivated, again, is this personal, like, feeling of, how is this going to affect me? How are the policies going to affect me personally? And, you know, it's interesting, the healthcare conversation really drove a lot of what people were talking about in terms of issues for the last few weeks. But traditionally, economics and personal, like, taxes have always been drivers as well. And I think that he's speaking to this, the notion that people feel really strongly about finding the candidates that are going to connect with them and say, okay, so I know this is an issue for you, and I'm going to care about that.
What kind of message does this increased turnout send to politicians about the kinds of campaigns they run in the future?
I think also, fantastic question. I think the idea that we could, that, you know, these are elections that people don't need to necessarily be as concerned about. We're only going to have the diehards show up, I think, is something that's hopefully on a trajectory to change. I don't think we're going to be at presidential levels anytime soon, but 30 million extra additional votes is nothing to scoff at. And so I think this is a signal, I would say, to both parties and to candidates that the ability to bring out the vote, mobilize voters, is something that any candidate, if a candidate can do that well, even ones that are non-traditional, which we saw a lot of those candidates this year, they're able to actually win those elections. And so the idea that there are unwinnable candidates or unwinnable districts, I think, is much more in question.
Parusha is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Thank you, Paru. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm John Munson. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.